Recording. We are in Proverbs chapter 23, and tonight we begin, if you recall, we kind of went through and enumerated all of the 30 sayings in this particular section, and we are on saying number 11, which begins in verse 10. I don't think you got to read last week, so we'll pass that to you. Put you on the spot. So if you would, please read verses 10 and 11, and we'll start there tonight.
10 and 11. Do not move an axe.
Ancient
landmark. Oh, and enter the fields of the fatherless.
Yes.
So the Redeemer is strong. He will plead their case against you.
Okay. So what are we talking about in this particular saying?
Yeah. Oh, I'm so sorry.
Well, the first part is talking about the land God gave to everybody, and He had markers that marked the land.
Yep. Remember, we talked about that the last time. That was more moving the boundaries, was more commitment of committing fraud, stealing, thieving. That's what we're talking about here, moving the boundaries and encroaching on, what does it say, encroaching on the fatherless, those who are weaker than you, right? And taking advantage of them. What does it say about the last part? I like the word you used. What version are you reading from?
That was the ESV.
The ESV?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That was the Redeemer.
The Redeemer?
When it's referring to fields of the fatherless, it's kind of talking like fields that may not be protected, I guess.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Well, isn't Jesus our kinsman redeemer?
He is our redeemer, yes, our kinsman redeemer. The NIV uses the word defender here. Kind of the idea that coming alongside and defending those who can't defend themselves. But yes, in Christ being our kinsman redeemer, the one who comes alongside and takes over where others can't. So what categories could we assign verses 10 and 11? This saying number 11 in this series of 30.
Are they talking about God? So God is the redeemer. Is that what they're talking about in 11?
Yes.
Yeah.
My note says, Redeemer is applied to God as the Savior of His people. So, yeah. Since the helpless have no voice. I would say, definitely maybe down in section 7, compassionate.
Yeah.
Good.
Maybe sovereign.
Verses 10 and 11, compassion, sovereign. Referring to verse 10, would you think that would fall into the categories of coveting and lying? And then also accountability, more in the end of it, where the defender or redeemer comes and holds accountable. Good. How about verses, verse number 12, all by itself. Saying number 12.
Apply your heart to instruction and your ears to words of knowledge.
Okay.
Just talking about how discipline and knowledge are kind of tit for tat. You can't have one without the other.
They're not real complicated sayings, are they? Nope. Following them is harder, though.
Mm-hmm. Although, I do think it's really cool that he says to use your heart and your ears, mm-hmm. not kind of like what Eli said, that it's not just one or the other. You have to use both of them.
You have to listen.
Yeah, you have to listen.
And apply.
You have to, be intentional. Mm-hmm. Take it to heart.
Good. So what categories could we assign verse 12?
Heart.
Good.
Could you possibly put it in diligent workers?
You can.
Oh, yeah.
Path.
Yes. Diligent workers, path, heart.
Instruction.
Good. What about obedience? And what at the top of your sheet, what's the replacement word for knowledge?
Truth.
Yeah, let's put it in that category too, truth.
What about influence?
Yeah. You could definitely put it there. You are an example to others. Good. So, saying number 13 is made up of verses 13 and 14.
Don't withhold discipline from a youth. If you punish him with a rod, he will not die. Punish him with a rod, and you will rescue his life from Sheol.
Okay.
Spare the rod, spoil the child.
There you go. Spare the rod, spoil the child. Ever met any spoiled children?
verse 12, we kind of discipline knowledge or whatever the saying. If you're not going to discipline your child, you're not giving them knowledge, not giving them instruction. If you don't have knowledge and instruction, you're making your kid more foolish. That's on you. That's more than on you. You're leading your kid on a life that does not honor God. And that's a very, very serious crime.
Yeah.
That's why becoming a parent is such a big deal. You've got to be very careful.
Yeah. And there's no manual for it. Oh, wait. Yeah, there is. No, there isn't. But it doesn't feel like it is, right? Good. I agree. So what categories can we assign this saying, verses 13 through 14, saying number 13? What categories can we apply this to? The two most obvious are?
Parents and children.
Very good.
Instruction.
Influence. Good.
You can put it in love, too.
Oh, yeah. Very good.
I think if you're disciplining your child, to a degree, it's not over saying discipline
when
you're loving your child.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's a line to draw. It's the same thing with parenting.
Right. There's a difference. We've talked about this. There's a difference between abuse, and there's a difference between lovingly discipline. And it's okay to discipline your child and make them cry for a while. And a little bit of pain goes with that because there's an association of things I don't want to do.
Right. It's not okay to lose your temper on your child. That's crazy.
Yeah. There's a whole process to the whole parent discipline thing. And it's hard. Because it's harder on the parent than it really is the child, right? Mm-hmm. If done properly, the parents sit and cry when their kids go out the door. I did anyway. What other categories can we assign this to? So we've got love, we've got parents, children. Any others?
Evil and death. I mean, that last part of verse 14, it's hard to, I mean, rescue your life from Sheol. I think it is a life and death situation.
Yeah, it is.
And we got, I put on there as instruction.
Instruction? Good.
Well, commitment too, because you have to be committed to discipline.
Yep.
I mean, it's not a one-time thing.
Stick to your word and stick to your guns. Yep.
Maybe that's why I was afraid of my mom sometimes.
There's nothing wrong with that. That's called being respectful.
Yeah. When she gave me this look, I ran.
Yep. What about accountability? 100%. Yep. And then I also had a couple more. Actually, everything on the far right, at the very bottom, firm foundation, because we want to create a firm foundation for our kids to stand on. And we want to have grace and mercy, but we also want to show honor. Them honoring their parents and their parents honoring them as well, right? All right. So let's go to say number 14, that it would be 15 and 16.
My son, if your heart is wise, my heart will indeed rejoice. My innermost being will celebrate when your lips say what is right.
Very good. What is this? I like the tone in which you read it because it's very exciting, right? It's one of the things that isn't a do-don't thing. No. It's not a do-don't. It's an excitement.
I think this is verses 15 and 16 is very much evidence, evidence of what 13 and 14 are kind of talking about.
There you go.
Well, I guess in a sense the purpose behind it, you know, we're called to glorify God. We want to honor Him. And if you focus your life on having discipline, having knowledge, and you show that your heart is wise, kind of like your verse was saying, applying it to your heart, God's going to see that because that's window to our soul. That's where our Holy Spirit is. It's pretty straight and narrow.
Yeah, sees the intention.
He does. If you look at the book of Saul's, where he, Saul, David's father, brought three sons of his, and the Lord God was like, no, not that one. Where's your third one? And Saul was like, what? You're talking about David, the shepherd boy. What?
Yeah, you're talking about Jesse. Yeah. Yep.
And so what that applies is that God doesn't care what's on the outside of your shell. He cares what's inside, what your heart is. That's what I think about when I say, if your heart is wise, then my heart will be glad indeed. Because that's what God's heart is glad indeed, because if you go to Noah, because Noah obeyed God to every single instruction, because Noah's heart was and indeed
good.
So
exactly.
Andrea here recently to go along with that, and I remember this when the girls were littler. You know, you were trying to teach them some certain thing. You know, some certain character quality that, you know, you wanted them to have, you know, and then all of a sudden you would see the evidence of it, and it's like, man, as a parent, you're like, ooh, your heart kind of skipped a beat, you know, and you got all excited. You're like, yes, they got it, or, you know, they heard the instruction, and, you know, I think what we're seeing here in 15 and 16 is kind of that evidence, that excitement that a parent sees after 13, 14, that it's like, oh, yeah, they got it. They understand what it's like to make a wise decision and see the consequences, and And the parent gets to see that. It's, yeah, it's a whole thing for the parent. It's a physical response from, yeah, from the parent. You know.
So what categories? Oh, go ahead.
I was saying, I think it's also kind of good, like, I think this verse is good evidence of kind of like, you know, I think some of like critics of the Bible and like the Old Testament are kind of viewing the God of the Old Testament as almost a force of nature, and specifically a force of like hatred, that God isn't very, that kind of the idea that there's one God of the Old Testament, there's one God of the New Testament. And yeah, just, you know, like how one of those critiques, but this year is, you know, for one, I'm saying that God has, I mean, my translation has innermost being, mm-hmm, kind of a thing. There's layers to God, there's complexity to God. It's not just angry force of nature that you cross him, he's just going to destroy you. There are things you can do to, I don't want to say appease him, but things that he'll take joy in. Which is kind of opposite of this idea of God just kind of being an angry, wrathful, bringing calamity and disaster.
I agree. I think that's really pretty, pretty cool that God rejoices over us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what categories can we assign this to?
I put heart, joy, compassionate God.
Very good.
And then you got love too, because he loves us.
Yep.
I think this still is referencing parents and children too.
Yeah.
Yes. Parents and children.
Yeah.
You can put it in good / life, and also honor.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Ooh. Holy God.
Good. I didn't have any others. You guys said them all. I don't have anything else to say, so I guess we'll move on. Oh, I did have one more. Faithfulness. In our faith, our faithfulness.
There it is.
Yeah.
That could apply both to the child and the parent.
Yes.
Well.
Mm-hmm. Parents, children.
That faithfulness, yeah.
Very good. So, say number
17
and 18.
All right. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but let thou in the fear of the Lord all day long. For surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off.
Okay. So what are we talking about here?
What's a zealous?
A jealousy, right?
Zealous?
Yeah.
No. It's a passion.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. My apologies.
Yeah. To be zealous is to be passionate.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Thank you.
Paul would have been a zealous Pharisee when he was going after the Christians, right? Those who followed Christ. When he was persecuting them, he was very zealous. He describes himself as being very zealous, very passionate, committed.
I think we need to, let's just say that we need to fear God more than we want things of the world. It's okay to enjoy the world, but that enjoyment, that want, shouldn't outweigh your fear of the Lord to the point that those wants and those wants become idols.
Right.
Yes.
Well, and envy is pretty... It can be very overwhelming sometimes, you know, when you see somebody that isn't following the Lord, that, you know, has all of the things of the world. Envy can creep in there and be very strong.
So here's a really good example of that. For a very long time, I really wanted a Harley. Right? Didn't matter what kind it was. Well, as long as it wasn't a Sportster, I don't like those. But I really wanted a Harley. And for a short time, it just became my absolute focus on what I needed, what we needed to try to figure out how to do. And my envy caused me to become jealous, caused me to be conflicted, a lot of turmoil. Why don't get that? Why can't I have that? A lot of frustration. It led into all of these other disappointments, right? And then when I finally said, okay, we can't do that, get over it, move on, that's just not where I need to be, I actually felt a lot better. I could walk through the day and I could hear one go by and go, oh, that's really cool, glad for him, right? I do have a motorcycle. It's not a Harley, but it's nice, and it's exactly what I need. I just need to fix it. So we're good. Now I'm going to fix it, right? But it creates problems in my head, in my heart, in the way I see things, the way the decisions I make, how I react, just all the things, right? Creates tension and turmoil inside of me, and between us, because it was something I was solely focused on a long time ago. I got over it. Maybe. I'm not sure.
It was just like with me, what happened to me like this week. I look at this. I try to pray about it, and I try to apply for a credit card. And God was like, no, you're not ready. So I was like, all right, there's a... And then I was like, I had no choice but to listen to him. So, okay.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to build my credit up, but he's like, no, you're not ready for that yet. So
you can do that with no credit cards, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pay the water bill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's also kind of partly why, kind of what you said, like, that's partly why, you know, the Lord gives us the Holy Spirit for, like, when, you know, as Christians, like, when we do envy those with, like, you know, like, when they... For me, at least, when I go see people do fun stuff, like, you know, or, like, I go see people do things, I'm like, man, I really want to try that, or I really want to go do that. But, like, you know, I have that Holy Spirit that's like, you know what's going to happen if you do that, or if you go try that, you know. Like, I have friends that love to go to bars and go drink and have fun. I'm just like, man, I really would like to just go join them, but at the same time, I know, like, if I was to do that, I'd probably go too far. You know, it's like, I have that Holy Spirit that kind of holds me back and holds me accountable and stuff. And that's the good part about being, you know, Christian and accepting, you know, God to your heart. You get that Holy Spirit and it's like, no, you know. Or you get that guilt, which is a good thing. You want guilt after those things, because if we never felt guilt for our sins, then we would be completely screwed. So.
See, I heard something like that. It was like, if Satan doesn't attack you, that's when you should be weary.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah, and then the only ability that God's weary about is your availability.
The only ability God's worried about is your availability. Very good. I like that.
The devil doesn't need to kill us or injure us. He just has to make us lazy.
Pretty much.
Give us a temptation and watch us work.
And that's, I think it's really cool going along with what you just said, Eli, because the verse starts out with, don't let your heart envy sinners, which is one of those don't do something, which we as Christians feel like we have a list of don't, you know. But then it also says, you know, I think there's a progression. Hey, don't do this. But here's what you should do instead. Be zealous for the fear of the Lord. And then he also gives you, oh, hey, because surely there's going to be a hereafter and you're going to have hope. And so I think it's interesting in this one little verse, another one of those little packages we've talked about where he sums it up of don't do this, but if you do this, basically you're gonna have life and hope. So I think it's, so every time we get caught in that cycle of envy, it's like we can remind ourselves that there's something so much better than getting caught in that cycle of envy.
So what you're saying is you know people that are 70 buying Harleys, so maybe I can get one when I'm 70?
Sure, yeah.
Well, when you get to heaven, God will give you the desires of your heart.
God will give it to me.
Exactly.
He's going to have one waiting for you. Higher
tech thing. You want one Harley by the time you get there.
That's right. I want wings if I'm going to heaven.
You
won't
want to mar the streets of gold with
that. You don't want to see me ride a Harley.
Exactly. What are you going to be doing? Yeah.
All right. So where... I'm sorry. I shouldn't have got us off track. I'm sorry.
That was a good example of envy, though.
But yeah,
it really was.
Absolutely. So where can we assign this 15th saying, verses 17 through 18? What categories are we addressing when we talk about the only other thing I would say here, kind of along your point, isn't it nice to have a do not followed by three very positive reinforced reasons? Instead of focusing on the do not, sometimes we need to really change our focus and focus on the here's what you get if you just don't do that.
Not a fixed mindset, but a growth mindset.
Yeah, a growth mindset, not a mindset, right? I can't. I can't. No, a growing mindset.
Well, all these do nots are for our benefit anyway. Even
yes.
though we don't understand it, ultimately it's for the best.
Well, absolutely.
I wouldn't even phrase it as a do not. I'd phrase it as a be more cautious. Like, it's not that you can't do this because you can't.
Right.
You have free will. It's just
right.
Be careful, you know?
Yeah, watch out.
Don't get caught in the cycle of
envy.
That envy piece, yeah.
So, 17 and 18, what categories can we assign these to?
I put commitment and patience.
Patience. Very good.
What was that?
Illusion.
Oh, yeah, illusion. That's a good one.
Illusion?
And a gift from God. Yeah, because God loves us.
What'd you say, Amy? You didn't say it. Okay, I thought you did. You did. Okay. That my ear heard it pounce off that wall and it came from Amy. Amy's like, I didn't say anything. Don't call me out. That's
I even had faithfulness because it's a choice to be faithful and to...
Good.
Be zealous. And hope for the hereafter, yeah.
We had compassionate.
Compassionate? Mm-hmm. All right, so far, did anybody say wise?
No.
Okay. How about that one? First one. Wise. So we have wise, gift from God,
patience,
faithfulness, commitment. I had obedience.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's a good one too.
Someone said illusion, compassionate. Go up the other
side.
Did
we say patience? And I just missed that one.
We got patience.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
And then one of the write-ins, I didn't think I was going to have to say the write-ins tonight, but we do have a write-in that we have been kind of adding to our list over time. This particular write-in was blessing. There's a blessing in this. To not do something, but there is a blessing that actually comes out of this. You know, these three things are... We get to learn. We there is a hope for the future. There is something more that we will get. I liked, that's the part I liked of all of it, the blessing part. You know, we have a don't, but we have a lot of, hey, here's the do's that you get. All right, so let's go to the next one. Saying number 16 covers verses 19 through 21. Yeah.
Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide your heart in the way. Be not among winebibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh. For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags.
Okay.
So just like the last one, it's more specific. It's, you know, instead of saying envy sinners, it's don't be envy of drunkenness because of this, drunkenness, talking towards yourself, being glutton.
Gluttony.
Leads to laziness.
Don't envy those things because it's, gluttony and drunkenness, that's, sins of volume kind of a thing that it's never quite enough. You know, it's more or less it's okay if you eat a little bit, but it's not okay if that's all you do. It's okay to have a drink, but it's not okay if you need that to go to bed at night.
Right. Yep. Sins of overindulgence. So on the line next to drunkenness, which is under the popular sins section, these sections will probably change over time because we've got things written in all over the place. I kind of slashed that with gluttony. Gluttony, drunkenness, they're kind of like that overindulgence is what we're talking about. Is this a hard thing to hear?
For some people, It just screams like, you know, we need to have more self-control. It's one of those things where the best way I can relate it to is if you look at an energy drink can and you see all the vitamins and you're like, oh, that's really good for you. And too much of a good thing can be a bad thing because, energy drinks are not good for you.
Right.
The commentary I follow along with says these words at the very bottom, and I think this kind of sums it up. It says, their full stomachs empty their minds. And I feel like, you know, so much of folks will drown themselves with gluttonous eating and you know, wine and such to the point where...
Whatever the addictive behavior is.
Yeah, or you could, you know, whatever that addictive behavior is, you know, they may feel full in that sense, but really they're emptying their mind and they're not, you know. And that's hard. I mean, we've talked about it. That is incredibly hard to do that because we don't always want to think about all of the hard things.
Mm-hmm.
Worst part is when people don't see it, when those people don't see it as a problem. Everybody else is looking around them and like, you got a problem on your hands. Like, no, I don't. Okay. Exactly.
Well, it's an escape. It's an escape. Any behavior like that. And I mean, they're calling out several right here, but any behavior can do that. Amen. Whether it could be a good type, what we consider a quote good behavior can even do that as well.
Yeah. So. I mean, drunkenness can be, it's really anything that you're just kind of, you're just removing your mind from it.
It could be
for,
work.
For me, it's watching YouTube. It could be like, you know, you have people like, I work 14 hours a day, every day, 6 hours a day, I get 4 hours of sleep, kind of a thing.
Yeah.
That's not, God says we need to be hard workers.
Right.
But, you know, at the same time, it's if you're giving more honor to whatever, God Inc., then you're giving to God. Or it's just another excuse for you to say, this isn't why I can't make it to church because of this, I can't do this because of this.
Yeah.
Kind of a thing. It's
basically
the same thing.
It's basically when, for me, for my recovery, I had to... step one talks about admitting your powerlessness, and that means like your powerlessness of your addiction or your powerlessness whatever situation you're in.
Yeah.
And then you give it to God, and that's one of the hardest steps to take because you can't get that right, you won't be able to move on to 2, 3, 4.
Right.
And that was hard for me. So that's when I look at that first, I look at how it was hard for me to become powerless over my addiction. And eventually I had to figure it out myself that I am powerless.
Yeah.
And powerlessness can be to any other situation you have.
I think that's for all Christians, is admitting that you're powerless to sin, and mm-hmm. there's not a single thing we can do. Because otherwise, you really understand what God did on the cross for you. Kind of thing.
Very good. Great conversation. So what categories can we assign verses 19 to 21 in light of all of that we've talked about?
So far I got self-control.
Self-control? Good.
Greed.
What was that?
Greed.
Ooh.
I did put it under that drunkenness, or like you said,
yep.
Tim Gluttony.
Very good.
Put it under influence and instruction as well.
Very good.
You can also put it in core/needy, I suppose. Maybe that makes sense.
Or fools.
Yeah, fools. Yes.
That behavior certainly.
It's a foolish sense. Behavior.
Yeah. Will lead to that. In a way, you could even put it under lying, because you're essentially lying to yourself.
You are. If you go in that far, you're really being selfish. Accountability? What'd you say?
Coveting. And it also goes before putting eat and drink above God. Instead of, you self-medicate with food and drink, mm-hmm. instead of seeking, you know, God. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. that can be bad. That is bad.
I feel that I'm really illusion.
Illusion? Good.
Because you're going through insanity.
Mm-hmm.
Which is doing the same thing over and over again.
And you said greed, right? Mm-hmm. Greed. Good. Great conversation tonight. So that covers say number 16. Let's go to say number 17, verses 22 through 25.
Which one? What was it?
22 through 25.
Oh, okay. Listen to your father who give you life, and don't despise your mother when she is old. Buy and do not sell truth, wisdom, instruction, and understanding. The father of righteousness, son, will rejoice greatly. And one who fathers a wise son will delight in him. Let your father and mother have joy, and let her who gives birth to you rejoice.
Okay. 22 through 25. Very good. Thank you. What are we talking about here?
I think it's talking about listen to your father who gives life. And then despise your mother. So I think that means it goes to like the first one of the Ten Commandments. Honor your mother and father by, what's the saying, listen to your father who gives you life.
Mm-hmm.
And then do not despise your mother when she's old. I think it's saying, like, honor them, listen to what they say, because they are your parents and they got a lot of knowledge over you. And they got a lot, and they're just trying to look out after you and protect you. So that's why he's saying, by listen to your mother and father. So.
Good.
Oh, the last couple of sayings have all been you're talking about like being knowledgeable, being wise, and things like that. But I mean, application-wise, how do you get that? because 99% of the world, if we live in a different world if people were just picking up the Bible and reading it and applying it to their lives. And don't get me wrong, there's people who do, God works in amazing ways, that happens, but most of the, I would say most, pretty confident most, discipleship is from father to son, mother to daughter, within families. And so, you know, don't, I think it's saying don't reject that knowledge from your parents. That if you're a righteous, if you're going to be a righteous son, someone who's in right with God, you need to listen to your parents. You need to apply their wisdom. Don't despise that wisdom, because it's despising God.
Good. I like the phrase in verse 23 that says, in the NIV, it says it this way, buy the truth and do not sell it. Get wisdom, discipline, and understanding. Buy the truth. Figure it out. If you don't know something, read about it, right?
I think they ought to teach the book of Proverbs in high schools.
Yep. Right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, they need a little something besides, you know, I always thought.
Yeah.
I see these verses, like 23 to 25, just basically showing you how to, like, condition your life. Like, you know, don't, you know, disrespect those who have raised you, you know, find truth, seek it. As well as that, with verse 25 also mentions, like, let your father and mother have joy, let her who gave birth to you rejoice. So, you know, it's like, hey, like, you know, also kind of like talking about your mom, but it could also be talking about, like, you know, if you're married and you have a wife, like, hey, you know, like,
that is true.
Yeah, like, let those, you know, who are around you just be proud of you and just your actions and what you do and just really live your life to, like, the best you can be, like, you know, glorifying the Lord in every way.
I even think, especially verse 23, I think it even goes farther than what we've talked about truth and wisdom before. Because it, I mean, if you're going to buy something, you're going to
invest.
You're going to do what, if you really, really want something, you're going to do whatever it takes to get it.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, if you're talking about a physical thing, a motorcycle, if you truly, truly wanted it, in that truest, you're going to go after it.
He's taking notes.
But I mean, think about it. I mean, up to this point, you know, yeah, we're seeking it. You know, hey, you want to gain wisdom, whatever. But I mean, buying it, to actually put forth the effort to put down whatever the cost is going to be to buy it, that kind of takes it to the next level. From a, you know, from a truth and wisdom perspective. So I think it's even telling us to, you know, dig your heels in a little bit more. And even, and again, that's hard. It's hard to go to that level. But I think it's almost challenging us to take it to the next level and go deeper.
Good.
In my opinion.
So what categories then can we assign 22 through 25?
Truth.
Truth. Good.
Parents.
Parents. Children.
Yep.
Good.
Then I got commitment.
Commitment.
And
children.
Oh, I forgot about instruction too.
Good. Commitment. Instruction.
Well, plans too. If you're going to buy it, if you're going to buy
plan.
It, seek it. That's a plan. And to make your parents rejoice over your, you know, instruction and wisdom that you bought.
Honor.
That you obtained.
Mm-hmm. Honor.
I think this goes back to the, number, saying 14 verses 15 and 16, that, you know, it's not just, you know, Leslie and Gary that are going to be happy because, you know, Ian is righteous. It's also God the Father that's going to celebrate that and we're righteous in the same breath.
It's like he's putting a lot of pressure on you, Ian. He's giving up. It's all on you.
Third time is a charm.
I'm just kidding.
So we had...
Good.
We had commitment, truth, honor, children.
Parents. We also had truth. And...
It would be joy, too.
Joy? Mm-hmm. Good. And again, that write-in blessing, there's an awful lot of blessings in here, isn't there? Mm-hmm. We are in Proverbs 23:22-25. How about obedience? Who has to be obedient in this list? Yeah, I do. Right.
We do.
Seems everybody has a role of obedience here, don't they?
You make sure you're giving knowledge if you are.
Yep. Parents have to be obedient. The kids have to be obedient. I heard a... I called him a smart aleck pastor, but I heard a smart aleck pastor one time. He looked at me and he goes, "You know, everybody has parents." I'm like, "And?" He goes, "Well, either you're a child or you're a parent. It doesn't say how old you are. You're either a child or you're a parent. If your parents are still around, you're still a child. You need to be paying attention. And if they're not around, guess what? It falls to you to be in charge. It falls to you to be the role model for everyone. Whether you have kids or you don't have kids or whatever, it's your job to be a role model." I was like, guess he wasn't such a smart aleck after all. Yeah. We would tease him like that. That's silly things he would always say, but it's true, right? We're all children until we're not.
And there you go, repeating his wisdom.
Boom! And there I go, repeating his wisdom. Wow. Sorry, Pastor Scott, if you ever listen. Scott Dittmer.
So how far did you guys get in 23, 22 through 20?
25.
25.
Yep, that's our last one. We'll stop there. Next week we're going to talk about giving our hearts and keeping our eyes on Jesus instead of other more tantalizing things. And then we're going to talk about the dangers of just losing control. Saying number 17. That's the rest of the chapter. That's next week. I don't want to tackle that this week. I may still want to still lose a little control. No, I'm just teasing. Thank you very much for being here tonight. Let's go ahead and close in a word of prayer, and we'll just kind of... There's an awful lot of deep things we talked about tonight that, I don't know, they're different. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we do love you, and we thank you for your word and how it challenges us and how it causes us to reflect and look at our life. Pray, Lord, that we would sincerely seek you and ask forgiveness when we need to. Pray, Lord, that as you challenge us through your word, that you would help us to feel you come alongside, to encourage us, to cause us to change, to cause our hearts to be joyful, to cause our life to be an example. Pray, Lord, these things in you, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, hello.
know, that reminded me of this verse.
23?
23?
By